And as we begin 2022, I want you to dream about that good life when God would answer your pleas. I begin our time together with that question because the passage that we're going to be reading and considering this morning, we see that the people of Israel were doing just that. So if you have your Bible with you, open to Psalm 126. And if you don't have your Bible with you, you can grab a Bible off one of the shelves in here. If you don't have a Bible, you can take that with you. But if you don't have your Bible with you this morning, then we have it up on the slides this morning. So as you're turning to that psalm, in the titles of many of the psalms, there's like, in this one it says, a song of ascents. And oftentimes we just gloss over those, but that's actually like, that's part of scripture. That's not just like the title. Like in my Bible, right above Psalm 126, it says, restore our fortunes, O Lord. And that's something that the editors of the ESV put in. But the next thing that comes in there is a song of ascents. And what that is it's a collection of about 15 psalms. It all falls in this section. And these are psalms that the people of Israel likely would have been singing during festivals or feasts, celebrating Jewish holidays. And with that in mind, this is a song that the people of Israel would have been singing collectively for hundreds and thousands of years. So follow along as I read in my copy of God's Word. A song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. This is the word of the Lord. A couple terms I just want to identify here that'll help us understand kind of our archaic. In the first verse, we see Zion. Maybe you all know what that term means. I did a little tiny study on that word, and it's like explosive. It has like 70 different meanings in the Bible. Not really 70, but in this particular psalm, this is restore the fortunes of your people, Zion, the place of Jerusalem. The scholars agree that this psalm was likely written after Israel was in Babylonian captivity, and then they were away from their land. They were not in Israel. And God used a non-believer, King Cyrus, to deliver them and to bring them back. And then that's when the psalmist says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. If you want to do a little bit more reading on this, there's a comparison passage, and that's Isaiah 45. If you're taking notes this morning, you can just write that in there. Isaiah 45, and then you could read Psalm 137 as well. But this was whenever the people of God were taken away from Israel, and they were in the Babylonian captivity. And then this is what the psalmist is saying is, when the Lord delivered us from that captivity, whenever the Lord restored the fortunes of his people, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, of Jerusalem, kind of one and the same. And then the second term in here, maybe it's not lost on us today because we're in like kind of the farmland of America. But in that last verse, in verse 6, sheaves. in this time, whenever folks would go out to harvest, they would have their sickle, and they would cut the wheat, and then they would bind it all together, and then they would tie it all together, and then there'd be this big bundle of wheat, a big harvest or a big sheave of wheat. And so this is him saying, he who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing the plentiful harvest with him. So those are the two things that I just wanted to set out and define at the beginning. And we're going to get to something else here in a moment. But what I like to do whenever I'm reading the Bible, whenever I'm preparing a lesson, is I like to ask a couple questions. I share this with the students on Wednesday nights often. And that is, what is the author saying? And then what is the author saying about what he is saying? Whenever you answer that second question, you have the main idea of this passage that you're considering. And so for the first blank on your bulletin this morning, when we ask that question, we could say that the main point of this passage is quite simply this: although we are weeping, Lord, help us keep sowing. Although we are weeping, not that, not yet. Sorry, Mark, that was my fault. Although we are weeping, Lord, help us keep sowing. So if you write that into your bulletin, that's my fault. What was just thrown up there. But now, you know what that makes me think of? I am on Facebook every now and then, and you come across these funny videos, these cute videos. And whenever I read through this psalm, I instantly thought, okay, I remember a video of this little girl. And this little, I don't know if she was just so passionate, she was just like sobbing her eyes out because she just loved to dance, but I think she was actually just like really sad. Jade, would you go turn off those lights real quick for us, real quick? And then you can play the video just so that we can, just for the effect. Okay. Okay, thanks for that, Mark. Okay, you can turn the lights back on. Yeah, bless her heart, but then also, like, good job. She was just, like, she was so committed. She didn't want to be there, but I feel like that, you can't forget that. And you can't forget this, the main point of the Psalm 126 now, because it's, although we are weeping, like that little girl, help us keep sowing. Lord, help us keep sowing. The show must go on. And so this morning, I just have a couple things that I want to share with you all. 2 points to take with you as we begin 2022. And the first one is this: while we are weeping and sowing, we remember God's greatness to us. We remember God's greatness to us. We see that in verses 1 to 3. The writer of this psalmist, of this psalm, he's writing in the past tense in verses 1 to 3. You notice this. When the Lord restored our fortunes, we were like those who dream. Our wildest dreams we could have never imagined. The Lord heard our cries, and then what happened? Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. Which then leads me to ask this question. So, while we are weeping and sowing, we remember God's greatness to us. as this was written for the people of Israel, God's chosen select people, we would say that, okay, today as we read this on this side of the cross, what has God done for us? How has God restored our fortunes? What about the history of this church? Consider how God has worked in miraculous ways so that we can be sitting here on this incredibly cold January morning, but sitting here nonetheless in a building that is warm. God has blessed us significantly as a church. As Craig shared last week, the finances of this church don't make sense. We should not be where we are right now. We were totally planning on going negative, in a sense. And not only did we not go negative, but we're positive financially. Praise God. Graceway Baptist Church, remember God's goodness, God's greatness to us. Broadening out just a little bit. Consider God's greatness in the history of the church. Not just Graceway Baptist Church, but consider the mighty works of God throughout history. How God delivered the Israelites from Babylonian captivity. As the blood of the martyrs in the first church, that was a seed of an explosion of gospel witness throughout the world. You think about the Great Reformation of the 1500s, which we have our Bibles because of the Reformation. We have our Bibles because of folks like William Tyndale, who God preserved and gave us our English translation. We think about the Great Awakening in the Northeast, where God lit the Northeast on fire with the gospel. People heard the gospel preached and they turned and trusted in Him in mighty, mighty numbers. And God has worked in powerful ways since then. The mass explosion of missions throughout the last 100 years. The gospel being preached where it's never been preached before. God has worked in great ways. And then one more narrowing down. How has God already restored the fortunes of your life? My mind goes to John chapter 4. Whenever the Samaritan woman at the well says, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? Will we worship on this mountain? That's what she asks Jesus. Will we worship here at this mountain? And Jesus replies, woman, I tell you, you will not worship here on this mountain, but God's people will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Friend, that's us. We worship God in spirit and truth. If you are here this morning and you have trusted Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you worship Him in spirit and truth. He has restored your fortunes. As we sang a few weeks ago, God and sinners reconciled, and hark the herald angels sing. And what was the result of that? What was the result of those first Israelites whenever they considered how God had restored their fortunes? Look in verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. We are glad. This is a great time to stop and think about just this last year. How has God been good to you this last year? What can you be glad about? And how God has worked in your life. But notice that the psalmist, he does not stop there. And not only does he not stop there, but he seems to sound a little greedy even. So the fortunes of Israel had been restored. And then he says, restore our fortunes right now, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Why do you think the psalmist did this? If the fortunes of Israel had already been restored, why keep asking for fortunes to be restored? Well, one person that's a lot smarter than me said it like this. Every child of God who has known the favor of God is tempted to believe that all is well, and then we might stop asking. Another question to summarize that. Do you think that this is all there is? He goes on to say, the blessings of the past need the constant refreshing of the outpouring of God's Spirit if they are to remain. Friend, as you are looking forward to 2022, while you are weeping and while you are sowing, the second point, we trust that God's greatness will continue. We trust that God's greatness will continue. Not only does this person believe that God's greatness will continue, but listen to how he trusts God and how he petitions, how he asks God to restore the fortunes. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb. I don't know if y'all knew what the Negeb was, or if you all know what the Negeb is, but I had to do a little bit of research. And the Negeb is this massive desert plain. And so whenever it rained, it flooded. It was like flash floods, and it was insanely powerful waters that would flow. That is how this person is asking God to restore the fortunes of Israel. Friend, whenever I began this morning, I asked you to consider what your life would look like if God answered your prayers. Do you have this fervency? Like a flash flood, God would pour his blessings into your life. That the fortunes, this is not health, wealth, prosperity gospel, but do you petition the Lord and pray so boldly that it's like this? Lord, save my son now. Please save my son now. Lord, restore my marriage now. Lord, give me the help to love my sister now. Because what is our responsibility? We pray, we ask God to restore our fortunes. And then verses 5 to 6 as we close. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. As we read just a moment ago from Mark chapter 4, 26 to 29, as we are petitioning to the Lord in 2022, as we are praying that God would restore our fortunes, that God would hear us and answer our prayers like a flash flood, we're reminded of Matthew chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, when Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like this. A man, he goes out sowing seed day and night. And what does he do? He sows that seed and he goes to sleep. He sows the seed and he goes to sleep. He rests. He sows the seed and he trusts that it is God that is going to bring the fruit, that God is going to bring the harvest. So as we continue in 2022, let us be people who pray with fervency. As we remember what God has done for us, as we continue to be faithful as he has called us to do. Let's pray. God, that is our prayer this morning. That you will help us to recall often how great you have been to us. How you have transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of your everlasting Son. How you made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Lord, as it is a cold winter day, you've provided us warm homes. You've provided us meals. You have been great to us to provide for us in the past. And with that as our fuel, we say that we trust you, that your greatness will continue. We ask you, God, that as you have restored us in the past, you will restore us again. Even when we are weeping, even when life looks grim, whenever there seems to be no hope, we pray, God, that you will do what you have said you will do, and that you will bring the harvest. And until then, Lord, we ask that you help us be faithful. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand as we respond in song?
I cannot comprehend the agonies of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. By your perfect sacrifice I've been brought near. Your enemy you've made your friend. Pouring out the riches of your glorious grace, your mercy and your kindness know no end. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. Lover. Jesus, thank you. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you.
From Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. A blessing as you go. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. God bless you. You're dismissed.